Westwood family, it is an honor to be with you today. My name is Ben, Pastor Ben Griffin, and today we're continuing our series on the benefits of one anothering. And you don't see this ahead of time. Is my mic cutting in and out? There we go. Hello. All right, let's switch. You got it? All right, I think we got what's happening here. You're giving me a different pack. All right, I will trade that out in a little bit when I sit down. Okay, all right. Let's make that happen. Titus, everybody. Great job. So you really don't see this ahead of time when your mic won't work, but we figure it out as we go. But we're doing this series, One Anothering, and obviously we're in an elevated moment right now as a society, as already the political tensions have been rising, and this weekend has taken things to another level. And what we're talking about today, I think, speaks to how do we respond in moments like this. There was an elevated moment where the Twin Cities was at the heart of it just a few years ago. And because of the way that pastors in our city had been working and posturing and connecting together beforehand, they were able to stand up, pastors like Pastor Joel, Pastor Clint, stand up and respond in a profound and powerful way. And what we're talking about today is friendship, is godly friendship. And some of us, like, we've been around church a long time. You've probably heard a lot of messages about romantic relationships or parenting relationships. But oddly enough, we don't have very many messages about friendship, which is the heart of what it is to be a community. And community is something that we all need, and in these elevated moments, especially so. So here's our key verse for today. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. So how will we respond in these moments, these elevated moments? Encourage and build up. So since we're talking about friendship, I invited a friend to join me today. So would you welcome Pastor Ebenezer Andreas? Yeah, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Hello, everybody.
Yeah, so here's what's going to happen today. We're going to talk a little bit about our friendship introductions. Then I'm going to do a little teaching. You're going to do a little teaching. And then we're going to come back. Ebenezer has a podcast that's blowing up right now called Shaping the Culture. And so he's going to go into podcast mode at the end here and just ask some questions, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But for those of you who don't know Ebenezer, pastors a church called Parazim. They meet at the Bush Lake campus of Westwood, and a strong friendship between churches, but a strong friendship here as well. So we thought we'd just start by talking about how we know each other.
Yeah, well, the year was 2018, and the month was October.
It's so specific, isn't it?
No, I remember because it was Pastor's Appreciation Month, and we were having a service on a Sunday where they were honoring me as the pastor, and that was the day that Ben came to visit our community. We weren't a church plant yet. We were just a young adult ministry. And Ben stood out to me because, you know, we're meeting in an Ethiopian church. We're in East St. Paul. And here comes in a white bald guy into the church. And we didn't see many of those in our community. Oh, look. And so he walks in, and I'm preaching that day. And so I see him. And, you know, it's kind of cool. No matter how big or small the size of the room is, you can kind of see a lot from the stage. So clearly I saw Ben there and preached the message. But Ben didn't stick long enough to say hello. And he just kind of left without introducing himself.
No appreciation.
And no appreciation, unfortunately. And so, but that's the first time I remember seeing Ben was in that context back in 2018.
Wow, yeah, sneaking out, which oddly enough, and it's funny how life kind of brings you in and out of people's lives. I was going through old photos a couple months ago, and all of a sudden I see this event that I had spoken at years ago, and there's Ebenezer. Like, you were in college, maybe?
Yeah.
I was speaking, and you were the worship team.
I was rapping.
Sorry. Rap's not worship? What's up?
Well, speaking isn't worship.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I was rapping back in the days. Yeah, it's so crazy. When you sent me that photo, I was like, is he stalking my Facebook? Or, but it's crazy to think that you were at that same conference and many years later we'd reconnect and God knew what he was doing.
He did, so, yeah. And I have a number of photos of you there because it's an Ethiopian conference, so it was my first one. So I showed up on time. And no one else did. Hour later, the rap artist showed up. And away we went.
But you learned, though.
I did. I definitely learned.
<That's good. laughs> that's awesome. So that's pretty cool. It's kind of crazy how we served together, and that was kind of like a picture of what the future would be without us really knowing each other. And so,
yeah, it really is amazing how I always wonder, like when you're sitting around the table with people, I always think, who's going to be around this table in 5 years? Because it does feel like God brings people in and out of your life.
Yeah.
And then there are times where, you know, you have friendships, you have connections, but then there's like, for us, there was this particular conversation where we're like, this is going deeper as a friendship.
Right.
And I can remember that very clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get into the details here in a second, but I remember that moment marked our friendship. We went from having a professional friendship to a more personal friendship. And I feel like that was the moment we were able to build a more intimate friendship. And I'm really thankful for that.
Yeah, I am too. And I'll say in that moment, we shared some vulnerable things. Yeah. And one of the things I just want to say thank you to you for, and why I knew, hey, this could go deeper, is that you held those things well. I could trust you with them, and I very much appreciate that.
Yeah, no, thank you. Yeah, you were also, though you didn't appreciate me when we first met, I learned later on he's not so bad. He's not so bad. I could trust him. So, yeah, I'm grateful for you.
Which is why I'm going to tell everybody your most vulnerable stuff right now. So, are you recording? No, but in reality, one of the things that we did connect on that day was a theme that we both experienced, which is as pastors, we're connected to so many people. So we have a lot of friends.
That's right.
But very, very few deep friendships.
Right. Yeah. No, that's real. And I feel like we were meant for deep, intimate friendships and relationships. So when you find them, you got to stick close to them.
And that's so true.
Yeah.
And as I think about today and what we're going to be diving into, the realization struck me that maybe we're not the only ones. Maybe it isn't just pastors that feel that way, especially in our world of social media, that we all know people, we know a lot of people, but we aren't really known or go deep with many people.
That's good.
And actually, generationally, this is an effect. So the younger generations really struggle with this. Connected to everyone, but deep with very few, if anyone. And you shared some statistics with me that I think are really interesting. So I want to throw these up here. These are from the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. First one here, social isolation significantly increased a person's risk of premature death from all causes, a risk that may rival those of smoking, obesity, and physical inactivity.
Wow. Yeah.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Next, social isolation was associated with about a 50% increased risk of dementia. And then thirdly here, poor social relationships characterized by social isolation or loneliness were associated with a 29% increased risk of heart disease, a 32% increased risk of stroke.
Wow.
So
it's powerful. You know, growing up, they would tell me if you want to live a long, healthy life, eat your vegetables, get your 8 hours of sleep, make sure you're working out 3 to 4 times a week. Nobody told me go make a friend. And so I have discovered, the stats are staggering, we have discovered that friendship adds to our life. And so I'm grateful for you because your friendship has definitely added years to my
life. Thank
you.
Yeah, literal years added to life.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah,
and as we dive deep into this, I want to pull up that passage and I'm going to take a couple minutes and dive a little deeper on my side. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up. So I'm going to focus on those two ideas here, encourage one another being the first one. The word there in Greek for the encourage one another is the word paraclete. And if that sounds familiar to you, some of us have been in church circles where we talk about the Holy Spirit as the paraclete.
Yeah.
And paraclete, it's root word parakaleo, it literally translates as come
alongside of. Mm. So being there with, I'm there with you. Yeah. I love this word. Paul uses it all over the Bible.
Right.
And we translate it in English as admonish, correct, warn, yeah, encourage. Yeah. It shows up in all these ways because with a real friendship,
yeah,
you call each other out.
That's right.
With a real friendship, you have, a friend of mine calls them positive collisions, like, which means, hey, this isn't working and we're working through it in a positive way.
Yeah.
And real friendships can do that.
Right.
Many of us, though, in our social media world, man, we have the elements of friendship, but not real friendship.
Right.
We were talking about one of the most popular influencers today, yeah, on YouTube and Twitch, is in the space of reaction videos.
Right.
Have you all heard of this? Reaction videos is where you watch another person watch a movie. Watch another person listen to an album. This guy is blowing up.
He's a millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have another friend just a couple weeks ago. He said, I'm thinking about getting into reaction videos.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to start producing them. I think people would like to see me react to things.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, we could do this right now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. So elements of friendship, but not real friendship. Right. I mean, I even was at a conference once, connected with a guy, and I was like, oh, I kind of like this guy. Let me see. I'll shoot a friendship request his way. We'd been Facebook friends for 8 years.
Mm.
Man.
Yeah.
Real friends.
Yeah.
Hard to find. We have a lot of surface.
That's right.
But real friends are those who are with you.
That's good.
In the good and the bad.
That's
the
good.
Second part of this is to build each other up. And build comes from the word oikodomete. And the root word oikos is house. So what it's saying is that real friendships are built on a foundation.
Yeah.
That layer on top of it, just like you build a house on a foundation, it grows
right
over time.
Yeah.
So other than when we're in kindergarten, the phrase "Will you be my best friend?" doesn't really work, right?
Yeah.
But it's built slowly.
Yeah.
You start by ignoring someone when you visit their church. Yeah. Then you go to their house for dinner, yeah, and they sit at the kids' table while you sit with the adults.
Yeah.
And then eventually you start to connect, but it's built on the friendship over time.
Yeah.
And there's something about building. And in heightened moments like we're experiencing in our culture literally this weekend,
right,
that building is so important.
That's right. Yeah, that actually reminds me of this one afternoon where I came to your house for a meeting. I was going through a crisis of my own, just going through things, and I met up with Pastor Ben to talk logistics. You know, we had just planted a church. We were trying to figure out what's working, what's not working. And I mean, there's something different that happens when you're not meeting at a coffee shop or an office space, when you're in the living room and your guard is down. And he got me, y'all. He got me. And so before I knew it, I started sharing my heart with him. And at that time, like I said, I was going through something. I was going through some personal pain, some wounds that I was having, and it wasn't a scar yet. I hadn't healed. So in real time, I was facing some problems, and I was able to share that with Ben. And Ben, in listening to me, responded, hey, not only am I with you, but I too understand what you're feeling and experiencing. This has also happened to me. And I was like, what? You too? Like, I don't know about you, but whenever you're facing something difficult, it's just human nature to believe that that challenge is unique to yourself and that nobody understands or that nobody knows what it's like to feel what you're feeling. And in that moment, Ben was able to encourage me. And when I saw him responding to my pain in that way, where our bond just got deeper. It reminds me of a passage found in Proverbs 27, verse 9 that I want to read with you guys. It says, perfume and incense brings joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. I want to point out that word pleasantness to you because when you study in the original language, it literally means sweet. So the author is saying a friend is sweet. If you dig deeper a little bit and look at the cultural and historical context, in this day and age, they didn't have manufactured or artificial sweets. So imagine a world where crumble cookie doesn't exist.
That doesn't sound good. Doesn't sound
good
at all.
Sounds like the fall to me, really. Or imagine a place where Sebastian Joe's does not exist, or you can't have carrot cake or tiramisu, right? In this day and age, if you wanted something sweet, it had to be natural and it had to be discovered, like some grapes or some oranges or an apple. And so what the author is trying to communicate here indirectly is that a friend is discovered, it's not forged. That a friend is stumbled upon, it's not something you manufacture, it's something natural. And in that moment, our friendship was being developed kind of like on accident. We discovered. It reminds me of a quote from C.S. Lewis who said, a friendship begins when one person says, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. I don't know if you've experienced this before where you're hanging out with some people and you realize they like gardening. No way. I like gardening too.
Or I hate gardening.
I hate gardening too. I don't really like gardening. I just felt like it'd be great for an analogy.
Good example.
Or you like the Vikings? I do too. And then we mourn together, right? Or and it's tough. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to talk about it.
I'm a Packer fan. So.
Yeah. Did you guys? Yeah.
You're about to witness the end of a friendship.
That's right. I heard some boos. That sounds like a friend to me. So that's how a friendship is formed. C.S. Lewis continues to say that those who simply want friends cannot make any. The very condition for having friends is that you would want something besides friends. When someone asks, do you see the same truth? And they respond, I don't really care about that. I just want to be your friend. Then no friendship can arise. There's nothing the friendship would be about. Those who have nothing can share nothing. Those who are going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. And in that moment, in that afternoon, in your living room, I discovered a friend that we didn't just have shared pain, but we also had shared values. And the way you were able to encourage me served as an encouragement because we put a high premium on that book. And the way you encouraged me was through the word of God. And that's when I discovered, oh, not only does somebody understand my pain, but someone understands my love for the Lord. And we're going towards this direction and we can go together. I believe in that moment, we didn't just discover a deeper friendship, but we were reflecting God. One might ask how. You missed your cue there, bro.
How?
In Genesis, God looks at Adam, right? For all of creation, he's saying, this is good. He creates the seas and he says, this is good. He builds the skies, the animals, the birds. He says, this is good. And then he creates man and he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, as you're looking at this, oftentimes we translate that and say, well, it's not good for man to be alone because poor Adam needed a date on a Friday night. But the text doesn't insinuate that Adam was on Christian Mingle swiping left or right. There's no recorded prayer of Adam begging God for a partner to go to Bora Bora with, right? The reason why God says it's not good for man to be alone is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And it reads like this, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Did you catch the words that were highlighted in blue? Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. That's plural. How many of you guys know that God within himself is a community? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And for all of eternity, the Father has been encouraging the Son and encouraging the Spirit. The Son has been loving the Father and loving the Spirit. The Spirit has been submitting to the Father and submitting to the Son. So for all of eternity, God is enjoying God in community. And when he looks at Adam, he says, oh no, who will Adam love? Who will Adam encourage? Who will Adam build up? And so he says it's not good for man to be alone because Adam alone cannot properly and adequately reflect his God. So God blesses Adam with a partner because in doing so, then Adam can begin to love and to serve and to build up looking like his creator, God. Community is within our DNA. God has made us to crave friendship and community. The beautiful thing about friendship is over time, you get to grow closer and closer, and a good friend begins to know your dreams, your fears, your failures, your insecurities, your strengths, and your weaknesses. And when a friend knows you on an intimate level like that, they're able to encourage you in deep and intimate ways. If we go back to Proverbs 27:9, it ends like this, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Now that word heartfelt literally means to counsel the heart or to counsel the soul. Well, you can't encourage or counsel the soul if you don't know it. And so what a friend does when they know you is they're able to speak to your heart in ways everybody just can't. Back in 2015, you know, I had moved to St. Louis to become a youth pastor. And I was alone out there. I left my girlfriend, I left my friends, my family, my hometown to go serve in St. Louis. And when I was out there, it was really difficult. And St. Louis doesn't really have much stuff. If you're from St. Louis, I'm sorry, but yeah, they don't even have a basketball team. You know what I mean? Actually, it was that year where the St. Louis Rams left and went to LA. So can you blame them? You know, like there's nothing. It's, I think they won a Super Bowl after they left as well. So it's just a hard time for me. And my friends here in Minnesota saw that I was struggling. And so one by one, they were flying to St. Louis to come visit me. And they would come and they would hear me talk about all the struggles I had in ministry. And they would give me advice like, well, this is just the cost that you have to honor as a pastor. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, there's nothing even theologically incorrect with that, but it just wasn't ministering to my soul. Another friend would come and say, hey, well, this is what ministry is all about. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. You're absolutely right. I must pick up my cross and follow Jesus, but it just wasn't ministering to my soul. And then my best friend in the world, Pastor Yosef, came to visit me, and we were up till 2, 3 a.m., and again, just sharing all my woes and all my frustrations. And when I was done expressing to him all of the things that I was feeling, he kind of looked at me and just asked a simple question. He didn't respond with some advice or encouragement or challenge. He asked, can we pray? I was like, it's 3 a.m., but I guess we can pray. So we got on our knees and we began to pray, and he prayed over me. And as soon as we finished the prayer, I kid you not, I felt like this huge burden had been lifted off of my shoulders. And I was able to be ministered. I was encouraged. My heart felt fresh. And the reason why that was is because my friend knew me well enough to know that the issue was it wasn't that I didn't want to honor the cost of ministry. It wasn't that I didn't want to love Jesus in this way. I just was having a hard time, and I needed a safe space to bring my concerns and my burdens at the feet of Jesus. And because he saw me, he was able to encourage me. I believe we live in a day and age where everybody wants a friend, but I don't know if we know how to be a friend. And so I wanted to ask you, Pastor Penn, what does it look like to see people well so that we can encourage them well?
Yeah. Are we in podcast mode now?
I think so.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I think we
podcast
just pivoted.
Mode.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I see that. Yeah. I think about like you and Yosef and the way Yosef showed up for you literally at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And I think a real friend is a 3 a.m. friend.
Yeah.
And those real friends are really rare. They're the ones you can call at 3 a.m. and they show up. They're the ones that will be praying for you at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And make a difference. And I think we all want that. We all hunger for that.
Yeah.
But we don't know how to engage that or find that. Right. And there's so many connections, but so few deep ones.
Yeah.
So maybe the simplest way I can think to answer that is to say, if you want a friend, start by being a friend.
That's good.
And yeah. And making friendly connections and yeah. building on that level and letting that build.
Yeah.
From there.
No, that's beautiful. I get the unique opportunity and privilege to pastor Perizim, and we got a lot of young folks at Perizim Church, and so often people come and they say, Pastor, man, so and so didn't invite me to their birthday party, and so and so didn't invite me to dinner, and so-and-so didn't invite me to that trip. I'm just looking for friends, and I feel like I can't find any. And my response usually is, well, did you invite anybody to your birthday party? Did you invite anybody to dinner? Did you plan a trip and got people together to go be a part of that trip? It's kind of like what you're communicating. Be the friend that you want. Yeah. And in doing so, I think that something beautiful can arise from that. I'll be honest with you, Ben. I've got some friendship wounds and I've invited friends to a birthday and they didn't show up or I've planned a trip. Anybody have a group chat with some friends and you try to plan this trip and it just never goes anywhere? And it just lives in the group chat. It never makes it to the airport. And after some time, you're like, are they really my friends, right? And you just wonder, you know, how do I build this thing? And maybe you've got some hurt. And, you know, I don't want to make light of that. And I kind of wanted to ask you, what does it look like to forgive maybe some of those pains or those hurts and then have the faith and confidence to step out and trust again.
Yeah, that's so real. I mean, here we are. We're talking about our friendship, and we're like, hey, be a friend, and you'll have friends. But let's be honest. To be out there and build friends is to also have strained relationships.
Right.
And so often, the people that we have the hardest time being around now are the ones that we used to be the closest with.
Yeah.
There's just something about, there's that vulnerability, there's that internal, deeper connection, and when that is broken for whatever reason, it created a whole nother level of distance.
Right.
And I think that is challenging. And there is a part to say, hey, be brave.
Yeah,
it is dangerous. You can be wounded. You have been wounded.
Right.
It doesn't mean we shouldn't still step out there.
Yeah.
And when we do that, we do it with Jesus.
Yeah.
We work to be and love like Jesus, and that means being forgiven. I have a phrase that I use, especially in those broken relationships, say, hey, you can burn down your side of the bridge, but I'm always going to keep my side of the bridge up. And that isn't always easy, but I do think that's a key step into the potential of reconciliation. And I've had some really burned bridges. I actually, when I was in college, part of my faith story, when I came to know Jesus in a deeper way and started living that out, I actually lost friendships, quite a few of them, because I wasn't going to the cabin everybody was going to. I wasn't participating in the things everybody was participating in. They took that as rejection, and they pushed me away.
Wow.
And years later, a number of those relationships have reconciled.
Wow.
But that can be really hard.
Yeah.
I mean, so A, it can be really hard, and B, it doesn't mean that we aren't to lean into that and always have the bridge up.
That's awesome. Yeah, I always say, you know, it's fascinating in the church. I think we always conflate the word forgiveness with reconciliation, but those two things are very separate, right? Mm. And so I think that God is always calling us to forgive those who have hurt us, but we don't always reconcile ourselves with the people or the friends that have hurt us.
Yeah.
And I think that we got to understand that. I think the prerequisite to reconciliation is repentance.
Yeah.
And repentance isn't just, I feel bad for saying this behind your back, or I feel bad because I didn't invite you to my birthday party. Repentance literally means a change of mind. It's a change of life. And it isn't until we start seeing a friend change their behavior that we can start building trust and start reconciling ourselves to that person. It kind of reminds me of our relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
That our relationship with the Father wasn't reconciled until we repented of our sins. We acknowledged that we have sinned against him. And it's in that acknowledgement and then us changing our mind, changing our life, that we're able to be in right relationship with our Father. But that relationship couldn't have happened without Jesus laying his life down and making a way for that relationship to be restored.
Yeah.
I love some of the things that you shared about how how friendships, you know, coincide or they work together with the gospel.
Yeah.
You want to kind of share a little bit about
Jesus?
Yeah,
I do. And I want to ask you one more question first, though.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the unscripted question.
Yeah, yeah. Oh,
all right. So I know, Ebenezer, that you're an introvert. Which most people assume, oh, extroverts make great friends.
Yeah.
Introverts also do make good friends.
Yeah.
But it operates a little bit different. So I'm just curious how boundaries and experiences go. Because especially your church, you're in a church culture, everybody's young, and they're all like, let's go hang out for the next 5 hours together after every single event.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, you've been a part of that.
I have been a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have an early bedtime. So I'm like, how's that going to work?
He sleeps at 7:30 p.m. every night.
It's 8.
To answer that question, so I think there's a misconception around the term introvert. I think when somebody says I'm an introvert, it's assumed that they don't like hanging out with people.
Yeah.
I love hanging out with people. The difference is hanging out with people doesn't give me energy. It takes my energy, right? And so I love being with people as long as I have my alone time. And so even this week has been jam-packed for me. I've been with people all week. And so yesterday, I was like, I've got a long Sunday. We'll be at Westwood in the morning, and I'm preaching tonight at Parazim Church. I'm going to be with people all day. I'm canceling every meeting. And so I stayed home all day on Saturday because I wanted to come today full of life, ready to mingle and hang out and meet new friends. And so for me, what it looks like to be an introvert is being aware of where my energy comes from and stewarding that well so that I can love and encourage people well.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
And to draw back to your question that you asked earlier about how Jesus really gives an example of that.
Yeah.
I want to share from John 15:13. This is the night before Jesus goes to the cross. And this is what he says. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Mm.
He,
quite literally, the cross, where Jesus paid the penalty and then ultimately victory through the empty grave was an act of friendship.
Yeah,
that good. It is a friendship is the act of mutual sacrifice, but Jesus laid down the model of the ultimate sacrifice for friends,
for us.
And so just drawing it to a close here, as we think about those elevated moments, and now this elevated moment in our culture.
Yeah.
What does it look like for us to be friends? As we work to be in love like Jesus, how do we show up differently because of that? Yeah. How does that help bridge and make other connections? And so, Pastor, would you just close us in prayer?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah.
I'd love
thank to. You.
Father, we thank you for sending your one and only son, Jesus, to come and die on the cross for us. As Pastor Ben just taught, what a great act of friendship that he would lay down his life and, as Eugene Peterson said, moved into the neighborhood. I pray, Father God, that you would help us find friends, discover friends in our communities, friends that could help us in tough seasons, but also friends that would help us enjoy the good ones. Friends that would come alongside of us as we learn to encourage us and build us up, and friends that would help us reflect you, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you would send people our way that would help us walk in the fulfillment of everything that you have for us. Lord, you said that you have come to give us life and life to the fullest. I pray, Lord, that we would discover friendships or deepen friendships we already have so that we can experience the life that you've promised us. I pray for anybody in this room who has any wounds from a friend or any friendship hurt, Lord, that you would begin to just heal them now, that you would begin to love on them and serve them and give them the healing that is promised in the gospel. I pray, Lord, that you would embolden them and give them the faith to step out and trust you at your word and start building friendship once more. Pray that you send people their way that'll be good, not just for their life, but their purpose and their families in their communities. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us with friendships that would bless our life. Lord, we trust you with this. Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.